welcome to the 13th Warehouse. I'm Kim.
And I'm Vicky.
And this is Doug with the episode credits for Season 3, Episode 7, Past Imperfect. Guest starring Yancey Arias as Jim, J. August Richards as Zach, and Gabriel Hogan returns as Sam. Created by Brent Moat and Jane Espenson, written by Nell Scovell, Executive Story Editor Derek A. Hughes, directed by Tanya McKiernan. Original air date, August 22nd, 2011.
Are you okay?
I almost had him beat.
What? At who?
Leo.
Who's Leo?
The guy who shot my partner. This guy killed Sam.
Hi, and we're back with Season 3, Episode 7, Past Imperfect. And the artifacts of the week from Wiki Warehouse are the barometer from the USS Eldridge. The barometer has the ability to recreate the effect of the Philadelphia experiment. That is to freeze time over a limited area for 47 seconds. The activator and whoever else is touching the barometer is able to move through the freeze. The Philadelphia experiment was an attempt to make the U.S. naval ships invisible to the enemy by using high-powered magnets. It kind of worked. The ship did disappear from radar for 47 seconds.
The next one is a doorknob from the Triangle Shirtwaist Factory. The Triangle Shirtwaist Factory fire in New York was the worst industrial disaster in the history of the city of New York and resulted in the fourth highest loss of life from an industrial accident in the U.S. history. The artifact burns the victim alive until they burst into a fall of flames.
Now, here's our old friend Doug Gramley from the Eureka podcast with the Season 3, Episode 7 Quick Cap.
While Pete and Micah are in Denver to retrieve the smoking railroad spikes, Micah sees Leo, the man who killed her partner Sam. Micah loses him when she has to go back to save Pete when he's affected by the artifact. They decide to go to the Denver office and ask Micah's old team for help. They determine that Leo is dressed as a tourist to get access to the treasury to steal new plates for forgeries. Pete chases the suspect and loses him in an alley. The alley is a dead end and there are no time for a suspect to escape. Leo must have an artifact. They get a second chance at capturing Leo at the train station and he is shot by Zach when the gun magically appears in his hand. Micah realizes that he was holding the gun in the wrong hand and knows that he must have a partner. This and the recorded message in the car wash card tell them that the partner had to be either Zach or Jim. Because Zach benefited from Sam's death by getting the promotion meant for Sam, he is their top suspect. When they confront him, Micah sees that it is Jim who has the barometer and is able to grab it from him. She saves Pete by kicking Jim into the line of fire. Claudia and Steve are in Wisconsin in search of the doorknob from the Triangle Shirtwaist Factory. They find it rather quickly, and while leaving the house with the artifact, they are distracted by a stray dog, leaving them open to being taken down by tranquilizer shots. The artifact is stolen, leaving the dog as the only witness to what has happened. Artie suggests using Mr. Mental and Coco's mind-reading fezes on him and the dog to retrieve the dog's memories and possibly the license plate of the car that Claudia saw, because fezes are cool. Artie warns that it is imperative the fez does not come off the dog's head. After the mishaps that we saw coming, they are able to get the license plate. Sally Stokowski rented the vehicle. In the end, Micah knows for sure that Sam's death was not her fault. She learns that he really did love her, and she was not his backup plan. And the warehouse gets a dog.
What did you think about this episode?
I liked it. It gave a history into Micah's relationship with Sam, and it kind of closed the door for her. It started coming back to me when the dog came into play, and they had the fedora.
The fezzes?
The fezzes, yes. Because I'm looking at mine from Doctor Who, and I'm like, really, Kim?
We have one, too, yeah.
Yeah. But the other thing was because Pete understood, like he had actually tell her, walk her through certain things.
Exactly. Yeah. That was definitely in my notes too, because he knew enough about her, which shows Pete in another light for me.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of the big goofball all the time, he knew what was going on. He knew that she seemed more emotional than she usually does.
Well, I'm thinking like Micah.
Yeah, I mean, when something doesn't make sense, Micah tries to make sense of it. I mean, but not right now because she's too emotional, which is where Pete usually is, emotional. Then I thought, hey, while you're being me, I might as well be you.
And he knew there was an artifact before she did.
Right.
But he needed to let her figure it out
herself.
And he needed to let her solve the case because it was her case.
Right. Yeah, I thought that was good. I mean, did we know he was married?
Sam, yes, because remember way back in the music episode when Pete left Micah and went with the other FBI agent? She thought they were going to hit some other bank, and the FBI agent thought they were going to hit somewhere different. And he left Micah and went with the FBI agent, and the FBI agent was talking about Micah.
Previously on Warehouse 13, apparently Martino and your partner were having an affair and he was married.
Yes, yeah, see, I forgot about
it. She used that word, the scuttlebutt is, that he was married, although he was separated. She was talking about Micah, you know, that she wasn't a good Secret Service agent and she was having an affair with a married guy, except the guy was separated.
Right, and that was the thing, too. And I was glad that her and the wife, because they weren't technically divorced yet. They were just separated. She did keep that card with Micah's name on it. I mean, I thought that was really nice. I just thought somewhere along the line it should have been a hug in place.
But at the end, you could see them talking. And
that's when they should have hugged.
Yeah, probably.
Because I was waiting for it, but it never came. You know, even though she gave her the pen, I still thought that they would at least hugged it out. You know, because sometimes it's just that what makes it, you know, even a little bit more reassuring that, yes, we're okay.
But when she gave him the pen, she said it's for both of us. So it wasn't like, you know, you should have this because you were his wife. We need to share this because we were both important to him.
Well, this should have been a hug for you to cheat. It should have been a hug. I felt it should have been a hug.
I thought it was weird, though, because Sam calls Micah Slim throughout the whole episode. And in all the other flashbacks that we saw, he always called her Bunny, which I couldn't stand.
Yeah.
It's like they picked these nicknames from the 60s, Slim and Bunny.
Oh.
But I just thought that was weird, because we never heard him call her Slim in the other flashbacks. It was always Bunny. This is a silly question, but at the beginning, when they were in the train station and Pete was trying to get the artifact, he called Micah Chloe. Now, that must be one of his jokes, but I'm just not getting it. Do you know what that was about?
No, Chloe.
Security, 11 o'clock.
Copy that, Chloe.
And it's probably something, like, really obvious, but I'm missing it. I'm totally missing it.
You're not by yourself.
I'm sure it was one of his movie references, but I didn't get it. We're going to pause right here for a quick break. We'll be right back.
Hey, Dud Gramley here from Yeah, That Can't Be Good. If you're a fan of Warehouse 13, it is very likely you're also a fan of Eureka, and if you aren't, you should be. Please join Kim, Vicky, Skip, and myself over at Yeah, That Can't Be Good for an episode-by-episode podcast of all things Eureka. You can listen at EurekaRewatch.com on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Podbean, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back.
Okay, now that I'm thinking about it, now there's two incidents where the glove has a hole in it.
Both teams had a glove malfunction with a ripped glove, and I thought that was going to mean something. But I guess,
yeah, me too, but it didn't.
You know, I guess it just meant what Claudia said, you know, retrieving artifacts is not an exact science. You're not always protected by the gloves.
Right, and then I keep on thinking maybe something will happen along the line, but
yeah, that's what I thought too. And then in the train station, I almost thought Micah was going to abandon Pete to capture Leo.
Me too.
For a minute there, I was like, oh no, she's not going to screw him again.
Yep.
But she didn't.
Micah, one of the spikes cut my glove.
I almost got him.
Micah, something's happened.
Micah, help me.
Pete, what's happening? Talk to me.
I just thought it was hilarious that Claudia and Steve were with the Artifact Roadshow.
Oh, yeah.
And they even had shirts.
I know, that was too cute. I was cracking up. She was like, let me go check that. Oh, that was funny.
Now, I checked my TV times. I couldn't find anything called the Artifact Roadshow.
Mrs. Hodgson, can I bother you for a glass of something cold?
The woman with her uncle's doorknob collection just really wants to fix Steve up with her niece.
Yeah.
So I keep a running tally of the Star Trek actors that are in the warehouse episodes. So I'm going to have to start making a tally of the Angel actors.
Oh, okay.
I forgot. I love J. August Richards. He was Zach the director.
Yes, that was the one that she bought that set him up?
Or... Yes, yes.
Yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm. He was Charles Gunn in Angel. And then I remember, I do know there's another Angel alumni in the warehouse episodes. Then when I was thinking about it, I remembered two more. So I'm going to have to keep a running tally of them. And just because we're talking about Angel, we're only a couple weeks out from the big Joss Whedon, Charisma Carpenter issue. And just because we know that Joss Whedon is a horrible person doesn't mean we can't enjoy the shows that he created, because there's a lot of actors and actresses who did a lot of good work in those shows, especially having to work under abusive situations. So I'm not going to apologize for liking Angel. I think I've watched Angel from beginning to end more times than I've watched The West Wing and Eureka put together. I mean, I absolutely love that show.
I never watched it.
It was a spinoff of Buffy.
That's probably why.
Yeah. And I only watched Buffy once. And the only reason I watched Buffy was because I started watching Angel. And I knew he was a regular on Buffy for three seasons.
Oh, okay.
And Charisma Carpenter was a regular on Buffy for three seasons. So I wanted to go back and watch the three seasons of Buffy to see how he ended up in Los Angeles.
Oh, okay.
With his own show. And then since I watched three seasons, I watched the whole thing, but I only watched it once. But Angel, I watched, I don't know how many times. It's embarrassing how many times I watched it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I've never seen it.
So at one point, Zach and Jim mentioned that Micah's still impulsive and emotional.
Still impulsive and emotional. Classic Micah. What? Classic who now? Hey.
They say that in front of Pete. Pete doesn't see her that way, you know?
I want to say it could have been the last time when he died.
Yeah.
It's like, well, you are hysterical because your loved one got shot. You think it's your fault because, you know, she didn't show up on time. So, yeah, I could see it. But now she's not as much as she was before. And, you know, Pete didn't see her that way. I mean, I don't know how you're going to see it in the beginning of the series, but as you start to trust each other, you know, things start to, I don't know, get a little easier.
It almost seemed like, not only because of Sam's death, it almost seemed like to me just being back with her old team made her more emotional and impulsive. So maybe she worked there when she was a brand new agent, because we don't know how long she was an agent when she worked in that office, because then she got transferred to DC and then to the warehouse. And yeah, I'm sure Sam's death had a lot to do with it, but it seemed like they were talking about, even before Sam's death, that she was always impulsive and emotional. Especially, you know, when Pete loses him in the alley and she blames him. I mean, any person can see that there is no way he could have gotten out of the alley.
Right.
You know, but she blames Pete for losing him.
Because she's figuring that she lost him, trying to rescue him. Then after now, you lose him. So I can understand that. I really can.
Can you understand her blaming Pete for losing him? I mean, Pete was right there.
Right. Even though he was right there, she had nobody else to really blame. Right. So, of course, the person that's there is the one that's going to take the brunt of the punishment. That's when he walks her through. Because he understands what she's going through at this point. And then once he starts walking her through, she seemed to have almost a calm on her.
Right.
So, it is what it is. That's what happens. Yeah. You're going to blame the first person you see.
Right. And then I'm going to throw in a dumb Micah moment. So when they're going to meet the tour bus, Micah's giving them all orders. Don't do anything while he's on the bus. Wait till he gets off the bus. And then she walks up to the window and stares him in the face.
Oh, that's too funny.
So he sees her, of course, and he recognizes her, of course.
Okay, listen, the last thing that I want is a hostage situation. So wait until Leo gets off the bus before we grab him.
Just a flashback from Eureka. We have to listen to Car Wash again. We always asked why they played Car Wash continuously. Mm-hmm. I did find out somewhere along the line that it's just that Universal owned the rights to it so they could use it for free.
Oh, okay.
And then it just got to be a joke in Eureka because they just kept using it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, and I can see Mike hating it because at one point you're hearing it all the time. Yeah. But when Car Wash comes out, everybody's singing it. Whether you like it or not. It starts coming out, you start moving.
When they hear Leo's been spotted again in the train station, She doesn't want Pete to go because she says she can't bear to lose another partner.
Pete, I need you to stay here.
Right. Wait. Micah. What?
Look, I know that I can't make you stay here, but I can beg you to.
Why? No one has your back like I do.
I know, it's just... Look, the last time I got a tip to nab Leo, my partner ended up... I could never recover from that.
All right.
And not only can she not bear to lose another partner, but it sounded like if she lost him, she wouldn't recover from that, she said.
I don't think she would have.
So I had a question about the barometer, but then I think I answered it. I really need to read the artifacts of the week before we record because they always explain some of my questions. My question was, why didn't Micah freeze when Jim took out the barometer? Because Zach and Pete froze. So they must have froze twice because they open their eyes and Pete has a gun. So Zach pulls a gun on Pete and fires. And then they freeze again and Micah sees the barometer. So I was a little confused about why she didn't freeze.
I don't know if it was like a straight shoot for whoever was there because technically he didn't freeze either.
Right. Well, the person holding it doesn't. Right. That's how he got the gun in Pete's hand, you know, because Pete didn't have a gun in his hand.
Right.
Pete had a gun in his hand and he was aiming it at Zach, which is why Zach fired. So he must have froze him twice. And yeah, now that I read the Artifact of the Week thing, it does say whoever you're aiming it at.
Yes.
But she also grabbed it. So when Zach shoots Leo and they figure out that he must have a partner, then Micah has a hissy fit and quits the case. That's kind of like becoming a theme with her, you know? I screwed up, so I'm quitting the warehouse. He has a partner. I didn't know it. I failed. So I'm done. And like I said, she does seem a little bit more erratic in Denver. So I do think that the whole move to the warehouse was good for her.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Was the dog there when you were attacked?
Well, you think the dog did it?
Don't be absurd, but what do dogs do when a car zooms off?
They chase them?
Yes, and what do cars have on their back bumpers?
License plates. So maybe the dogs have a license plate and can tell us, and that's where this all falls apart.
Just come back and bring me the dog.
Oh, and I'm being absurd.
Okay, we're going to go back to the dog.
A transmitter. So the receiver would be...
Yes.
Huh, so we use radio waves?
Not quite. Brain waves.
Magnetic resonance. Impressive. Mr. Mental made the first MRI.
There also may have been the teensiest amount of mystical juju.
Oh, wait. You're saying that he could actually read Coco's thoughts?
Well, nothing too complex, but simple images came through loud and clear.
And we're going to use these to get the license plate from the dog?
With any luck.
But there's always a downside, right? What's the downside?
Not that bad.
Why would they expect an unleashed dog to stay in one place and not take off?
I don't know.
I mean, you knew that was coming as soon as Artie said, make sure the fez doesn't come off his head.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Don't make any sudden moves.
Now, it's important you not make any sudden moves. If the hat gets knocked off, the receiver could pull in a massive amount of static.
The downside.
Yes. One night, an audience member pulled off Coco's fez, and Raymond Fraser was never the same.
Mr. Mental went mental?
Just keep the hat on the dog's head.
And in this case, it saw the scarab.
Oh, yeah, it took off.
Yeah.
But then again, nobody was really in any harm's way.
But they were in harm's way, because if the hat came off, Artie would be a vegetable for the rest of his life.
But he still wasn't in immediate danger. Artie was still in the room with them. Once he saw it and it was like squirrels, he was off, but he caught it.
Right, at least he caught it. But what I'm saying is, because he took off, so that hat could have come off his head at any time, because he was running all over the place.
Yeah.
You know, so as soon as Artie said, make sure the hat doesn't leave its head, you knew something was going to happen.
Right.
But yeah, at least the dog finally caught the scarab. They've been chasing that thing around for like 3 episodes.
Yeah, that was so funny. But what I couldn't understand was, Claudia was able to just take it out of his mouth and nothing.
Yeah, I don't know what that does or what it's for or what the purpose is or what kind of artifact it is. But
usually in the Indiana Jones, they go into your skin and eat you alive.
Yeah, I remember you said that.
My reference is to Indiana Jones, Doctor Who. Yes. Yep.
Claudia uses Pavlov's bell, which causes excessive drooling.
Oh, that was funny.
Oh, you know what? Drool, I can't. That's another thing. I was like gagging the whole time.
The way I kept on seeing it, oh, Kim, she just had a sack in her mouth. That's all she
Oh,
had.
Probably, yeah, but gross. So she's going to be like that for 24 hours, apparently.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, in the train station, Micah, who wasn't frozen, was able to kick Jim in the line of fire, so the bullet hit Jim instead of Pete.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like you said, the wife came later, and that was cute. You know, they didn't hug. Yes, I know you're disappointed, but it was nice that she's accepted the fact that he really did love Micah. And finally, Micah knows that it wasn't her fault once and for all.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So she could stop obsessing about it. But she also knows when she was talking to the wife, she said he always had a backup plan. The wife said to Micah, "You weren't his backup plan." I think maybe in the back of her mind, she thought she was just with him because he was separated. It wasn't really about her personally.
Uh-huh.
And then there was another part where she yelled at Pete, "I was his backup," which she meant where he was shot. But I think she also meant that she also still felt like she was his backup plan.
Right, yeah.
I used to give him grief that he always had to have a backup plan.
I was his backup, Pete!
Did you give him the recording?
First I made a copy, you know, for backup.
Ooh. Sam taught you well.
Well, I think you were more to him than just a backup.
And so I think she learned that she wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
Then Agent Sally's back. She's the one who rented the car.
Uh-huh.
Our evil car belongs to a rental company. Surprise, surprise.
Which would require a driver's license. Can you get into the company's computer?
Please, is there cheese doodle?
Although I looked at the license and I couldn't see it. Probably wasn't her name on the license, but...
It sure enough wasn't.
What was the name? Did you see it?
I can't remember the name and I didn't write it down, but it's not her name.
Okay. So I guess we're going to see her again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, knew something was up with her.
Oh, yeah. There's definitely something up with her. I know she's working with the guy in the wheelchair. But I remember the guy in the wheelchair because I remember the actor playing him. But okay. I don't remember what he's trying to do.
But so, she's still not a FBI agent. I'm still running with that.
No, I think she is. I think she is. I think she's a bad FBI agent who's working with evil people, but I think she really is an FBI agent.
Dirty FBI
agent. Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Yeah, no doubt about that.
Mm-hmm.
But that's all my notes. I thought I had a lot of notes, but I guess that wasn't as much as I thought.
No, that was it. I mean, I did enjoy it. Like I said, I like already in the dog's interaction, and, you know, he's like, well, the dog can't go anywhere. Gotta stay.
Mrs. Hodgson says he's a stray. Finders keepers.
Which is good, because we couldn't give him back. The psychic bond between us is just too strong. He owns me now.
Oh, you mean that you own him?
No, no, we don't own dogs. Dogs own us. Cats are prisoners, but dogs own us. His name, by the way, is Trey.
Trey.
Yeah, short for trailer.
Yeah, and you know what? I totally don't even remember them having a dog.
Yeah, me either.
Maybe we don't really ever see him again. I don't know. We just assume he's staying in the warehouse because that's what Artie said, but maybe we just don't see him again.
Yes. Mm-hmm. But anyway, it was a good episode and I did enjoy it. I'm glad Micah got her little peace of mind back, you know, and Pete was there for, you know, it was good. It really was. I did enjoy this episode.
Yeah, so did I. And what did we learn in this episode? Fezzes are cool.
Oh, yeah. Fezzes are cool. Voltes are cool, too.
All right. If you don't have anything else.
No, I don't. Mm-mm.
Okay, cool. So we'll be back next week for episode 8.
All right. Have a good day.
You too. Bye.
Bye.
Stay focused, Slim. Eyes and ears open.
Okay, DC, tell us what's next.
Join us next time for season 3, episode 8. The 4th.
40th floor.
Bye now.
Bye.
Bye. Yeah.
Hey, this is Doug Gramley reminding you to follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/the13thwarehouse, on Twitter at Eureka Warehouse, on Instagram at Eureka_warehouse, on our website at the13thwarehouse.com, or on Podbean. Theme music for the 13th Warehouse, Reflections in the Mirror, provided by Esther Garcia under their standard license. See you next time in the 13th Warehouse.
And now we're also available on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.